You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing as we pick up the pieces following an epic Grey Cup Championship game yesterday in Toronto. We gave you the Ottawa Red Blacks plus the points. We gave you the over in the football game. And oh yeah, for those of you that follow us on Twitter, we posted moments before the kickoff, take the Red Blacks plus 355 on money line. Man, I've been to Super Bowls. I've been into NCAA championship football games. I've been to Stanley Cup finals. That was one of the best sporting events I've ever been to, man. That was just freaking epic. And I'm saying that because I won a ton of money on a game. But nevertheless, great stuff. And we sort of have an NFL-CFL connection on the program today. Forrest Gregg will join us. Now, a lot of times I sort of rip Dumb and Dumber on the other side of the cameras for not knowing anything that happened in the world, you know, previous to 2012. So I guarantee you they don't know who Forrest Gregg is. Like, guaranteed. Like, they never even heard of Forrest Gregg. Yet, I'm going to cut him some slack on this. Like, even me, man, I was like, yeah, I wonder if Forrest Gregg has Twitter. Yeah. Forrest Gregg has Twitter. He was born in 1933. Like, the guy was playing football before, like, you know, the NFL, like the merger and everything like that. You know, Vince Lombardi called him the best player ever coach. We'll put it that way, all right? Forrest Gregg joins us. And when I say CFL connection, he was formerly the head coach of the Toronto Argonauts. He's also the coach of the Shreveport Pirates. When they did that American CFL thing, he was also the former coach of the Green Bay Packers, of the Cleveland Browns, and I believe the Cincinnati Bengals. Of course, the Cincinnati Bengals. He was on the wrong side of that epic Joe Montana comeback. So Forrest Gregg joins us on the program. Steve Merrill, we're going to break down tonight's Monday Nighter. A couple of NBA games, some college basketball. We'll run the gauntlet with Steve Merrill. The Tony Cincata will join us. We'll talk about tonight from a DFS perspective and give you some props for the game as well. So let's start off the program like we do every Monday with Who Ruined Your Sunday? Well, you see, I got a long list here of people that ruined my Sunday. The more things change, the more they stay the same. We have the usual suspects every week. And I don't know what's stupider. Andy Dalton on a football field or Gabriel Morenci off a football field. Like, really, like, this is why, like, we got to get, like, that Neil deGrasse Tyson dude on and break it down. Mr. Tyson, who's stupider, Morenci or Dalton? Like, you know, I'm pretty stupid. Like, I'm probably the stupidest person I know. So, like, nobody does stupider things than me besides Andy Dalton. Like, you know, I don't want to be mean, but you really are just a useless piece of crap, dude. Like, I don't know what else to say besides, you know what? F you. Like, really, dude. Like, you know, you've been stripped more than Lisa Ann. Like, at what point? Like, I know it's Christmas around the corner. Andy Dalton is Santa Claus. Like, you know, but I don't want to rip the guy because he's such a good guy. You know, nobody gives back more to the community than Andy Dalton does. Just ask any opposing linebacker. Just ask any opposing D lineman. Hey, here's a football. Hey, you know, you're struggling with your stats. Don't worry, bro. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to give you a late fumble recovery a little bit later on. It's like right on freaking cue all the time, too. You know it's coming, and it happens. Like, I don't know who's stupider, me or him. And once again, there I am, left standing, watching a football game, knowing that I'm screwed in. The Baltimore Ravens aren't even any good. You suck, Andy Dalton, and you ruined my Sunday. For the last time, you're on the list, man. Like, it's not happening. You're on the list. You're never going to hear me rip Andy Dalton again because I'm not betting on this story, son of a bitch, ever again. All right, the only thing stupider than Andy Dalton's decisions is like Donald Trump bitching about there being millions of illegal votes. You won, jackass. You won. It's like Ohio State. You know, my Saturday got ruined, too, thanks to a fixed football game. Donald Trump bitching about there was illegal votes would be like Ohio State saying that the refereeing sucks. But the officiating does suck across the board everywhere right now. You know who else sucks? Carson Palmer and the Arizona Cardinals. You know, their back was against the wall. They roll into Atlanta. They sort of hang around briefly. And then Carson Palmer remembers that he's done. And as quickly as Carson Palmer's career was rejuvenated, suddenly Carson Palmer just freaking sucks again. Like, hardcore, and I suck for thinking that the Arizona Cardinals are going to go on the road and actually beat them. Well, they didn't, and it's all over but the cry. But don't worry, Arizona fans, because you got a genius as a coach. Just ask him. You got the best coach in the league. Just ask him. And Bruce Arians, he'll be able to figure this out, right? Yeah, I wouldn't hold my breath on that. You know, we can go down the list here. Oh, yeah, Brock Osweiler. You 6'7" goofball. Like, really, like, you're terrible, dude. You're terrible. And the only thing worse than you is your stupid head coach that wanted you. The same head coach that's happy they didn't draft Derek Carr. Oh, yeah, yeah, you're happy you didn't draft Derek Carr. I guess you'd rather have Tom Savage. As right now, they're actually calling for Tom Savage. Tom Savage sucked at Rutgers, and he'll suck harder in the NFL. But Bill O'Brien, don't worry, he's the big quarterback genius and guru. The Houston Texans, you ruined my freaking Sunday. Brock Osweiler throws his 11th, his 12th, his 13th interceptions of the season. Dude's thrown more interceptions than touchdowns this year. If I wanted to bet on a piece of crap quarterback, I'd bet on a Jet and a Ryan Fitzpatrick game. All right? You freaking suck, and you ruined my Sunday. I gave you the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but I'm stupid, and somehow I take Russell Wilson as my DraftKings quarterback. He sucked. He ruined my Sunday. Amari Cooper sucked. He ruined my Sunday. And last but not least, Dan the Scam Carpenter. You know, Dan Carpenter was a bad kicker in Montana. He's been a bad kicker in the National Football League. Dude can't even make an extra point. Bills laying 7.5. They win by 7. Carpenter misses the extra point. You ruined my Sunday, Carpenter. Game time decisions continues. Game time decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. Man, I've broken out in sweats before with the intro, but like I was gushing. Okay, seriously, it's like somebody turned a leak button on, man. It just started going, and like as I was doing that intro, I could just smell it too, like red wine and beer, and like it's the worst, man. I mixed like all kinds of different things last night. Standing outdoors too, drinking like for hours, but the weather was actually pretty nice. It was really nice winning the damn game last night. Epic Grey Cup. We'll get to a little bit of it with Forrest Gregg, just because Forrest Gregg, you know, NFL legend Forrest Gregg. Guy's been around forever. He's been around so long, he hasn't even been around forever, like right now. But Forrest Gregg was actually, like I told you guys off the top, he coached the Argonauts. He was actually the president of the Ottawa Renegades when they came back as well. So I don't even know if Forrest knows. Like, we should know. Like, Forrest, I think he's like 93 now, guys, right? So, yeah, we'll see how the interview goes. Steve Merrill, he's not 93 yet, but he feels like he is because he had the Denver Broncos last night. I'm beaten down due to, Houston screwed me. The Arizona-Atlanta game was really frustrating. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. And even though I had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers plus the points, and I told you guys on Friday, my bold predictions, the Bucs were going to win that game. I thought it was going to be a high-scoring game, and I love Russell Wilson for fantasy purposes. I got screwed over. I bet on the over in a game I lost, and I ended up losing a bunch of fantasy matchup because Russell Wilson didn't, you know, two interceptions, hardly completed anything. Very, very frustrated. I know I wasn't the only one. Let's go to a Who Ruined Your Sunday Sports Guru video. I believe we got a dude, Bobby B's got something to say.
Hey, everybody. Who ruined my Sunday? Let me tell you who ruined my Sunday. First of all, it's Russell Wilson, who I picked up off the waivers, who's been one of the hottest quarterbacks in the NFL, decides to have a bust day against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the mighty Buccaneers in their pirate ship. I couldn't believe that crap. Oh, and then Mike Evans decides to go off. This guy goes off like crazy yesterday, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns, against the Seattle Seahawks' vaunted defense. The crybaby Richard Sherman couldn't stop him. The Legion of Poop couldn't do anything to take care of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' mighty offense. No, I had to deal with the Seattle Seahawks yesterday and their crap and garbage that they put on the field. Nice game, guys. 5 points. Way to go.
I feel your pain, Bobby B. And this is another game that the Seahawks go on the road and they can't even score a damn touchdown. Like, seriously, I had the over. I feel your pain, dude. I had the over in the game. I had Russell Wilson at DraftKings as well. I had Russell Wilson and another on a fantasy team. Very, very frustrating that, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers secondary, they gave up the 11th most, passing, points, fantasy points. Well, not yesterday. And you mentioned Sherman and these guys. I've told you guys before, man, that the way to beat the Seattle Seahawks is throw at them. Everyone's like, ooh, they're secondary. That's actually their Achilles heel. Like, you know, you got to go at their strength type of deal. You know, they mouth off a lot and they make a lot of plays, but they take a lot of freaking chances. And you can burn these guys if you got a confident quarterback. And yesterday, Jameis was. All right, the Buccaneers are back in it. Let's bring in Steve Merrill right now. ProSportsInfo.com, one of the cover's experts. Steve will give you a shot. Who ruined your Sunday?
Well, the Denver Broncos, or I guess the Kansas City Chiefs more. I don't know which one you can blame more. I mean, Denver had almost 200 more yards. It's not like they didn't play well, but then again, they didn't win the game. I mean, how many games have you ever seen basically the entire first half of offense is a safety and then a free kick return to make it 9-0? And even then, Denver still went up by 8 late in the game. They shut them down the whole game, decided to give up a 70-some yard drive to force overtime. It would have been the third tie this season had they not hit that late field goal. And that would have been the most ties since 1973 when there were 7. But that was the year before they started overtime, I believe. People forget, Gabe, this new format is going to have more ties. And yesterday was a perfect example because both teams kicked a field goal. You know, Denver would have won the game on the initial field goal. And we're going to see that happen more and more. And, you know, these teams are both scoring and ends up in ties more because of that.
You know, Steve, how come it never happened? And I had the game teased to the over yesterday, so I was good once
Yeah, that wasn't looking good early, though. My goodness.
I know. It was good when they tied it. But we see it goes to overtime. There's been so many times where I've had an over bet and I'm short. And I'm like, well, if they score a field goal and then the other team scores a field goal and someone scores again, I'm going to win the over. It never happens, though, when I need it, Steve. It's never happened like once. Like, it, you know, in basketball, oh, man, like I need this game to go to double overtime. Not just, and sometimes it'll happen and you'll win the over. But it never happens to me, Steve, where I get lucky like that.
Well, the other thing is, like, Denver was -3.5 in most spots, so I basically needed a touchdown once they went to overtime. And the fact they won the kickoff, they received the opening kickoff was huge because, you know, there's a much bigger incentive now to score that touchdown. I wasn't expecting it because both offenses kind of struggled to move the ball. But, yeah, I mean, that's another thing, too, is we're seeing teams win by 6 a lot more. Because most of the time, they would just basically take a knee at the 10-yard line, center the ball, and kick the easy chip shot. Now they try to score. So it's definitely changed the dynamics. I don't mind it. I still think maybe the college football overtime, which actually started in high school football, and then they moved it to college football a couple decades ago, you know, where each team gets the ball on the 25, is exciting. But then, of course, that could add a tremendous amount of points. That could add 30, 40 points to a game sometimes.
Yeah, it's funny how we live in the present and we forget the past so easily. You mentioned, you know, before there was overtime, 7 ties in 1973. And think about it now, like, it almost seems crazy that it was tough luck, man, before. It was sudden death. You flip the coin and you better hope you get the ball first, man. Remember, they always just say, well, hey, defense is part of the game, man. You know, defense is part of the game. Like, I like this better because I think it'd be ridiculous to put pros, like, maybe on the 35-yard line or the 50 even, Steve, all right? But what are you going to do? What, you're going to put Tom Brady on the 25-yard line? Come on, that'd just be ridiculous, you know? You'd be automatically in field goal range. I wouldn't mind maybe if they said, all right, we're giving you both the ball at the 50. Whatever happens, happens. You score, you know what I mean? And then after that, we go from there.
Yeah, I actually think this is a pretty good format because I agree with you. The problem with the college format is, especially in the NFL, the field goals will almost be a give me. And it does extend the game to 2, 3, 4 overtime sometimes, which is a little much, especially for NFL players. I think this new format's pretty fair. It's always bothered me that one team gets the ball, wins the game, the other team doesn't even get it. I think that's a problem. The new format of where you score a touchdown, the other team doesn't get the ball, you know, a little dicey. But then again, if you score a touchdown, you probably deserve to win the game. And the odds of the other team scoring a touchdown on their drive would have been pretty slim anyway afterwards.
All right, so favorites were 13-2 straight up. Kansas City was one of the only underdogs to win outright, along with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The point spreads were 7-7-1 yesterday. Not much to make of the totals as well, 8-7 on the week. 8 overs, 7 unders leads us into tonight's football game. Packers and Eagles at... I'm getting killed riding the Packers recently, Steven. I know they're terrible, but I don't take them to win the games, but I take them on these sweetheart teasers. 10-point teasers and stuff. So I got Green Bay plus 16. I got Green Bay plus 13. I had them on a 12-point teaser a couple of weeks ago and ended up losing by 19. And, like, it's been 3 weeks in a row, and here I am tonight, man. You know, the Eagles can't be trusted to lay 4.5 points, Steve.
Yeah, it sure doesn't feel like the Packers are 5-5 against the spread this season. If you'd told me that right now, it would have been no way they have a break-even point spread record, because they've just been a tremendous money burner recently. But it's because they started the season, I think, 3-1 against the number. They've since gone 2-4 their last six, but they're just 1-5 straight up their last six games. It's remarkable that they actually have a better point spread record than they do a straight up record those last six. They are getting points here, which is something that's only happened twice in those last six games. And they did cover in one of those losses. That was that 1-point loss at Atlanta. So I do feel like maybe we're starting to get some value at this point with Green Bay. But still, a 1-5 straight up team, it's hard to say they're necessarily the better team as an underdog in this game.
I wonder if the Eagles' offense can do enough damage. Everyone is killed.
Right.
Every quarterback, and we're going to talk about that in a couple of minutes with Sincata. We'll hit fantasy and props for this game. But, you know, you look back, everybody's throwing big numbers against these guys. I'm not so sure Carson Wentz can. Eagles score 24.1 points per game. They only give up 18.6. And if I'm McCarthy, even if I'm not having that much success running the ball, you have to run the ball. Like, you have to try to run the ball just to keep your own defense off the field a bit. Like, that's the big problem there. But I don't think he will. I think the Packers will just come out and try to throw the ball. The Eagles' defense, pass defense, is pretty good, though, Steve. But 4.5 is too high, I think.
Yeah, actually, the Eagles are a better pass defense, I think, than a run defense. If you look at the average, they give up 4.5 yards a carry against teams that only average 4.1. So the Eagles' run defense has actually been slightly below average this year. Packers' passing offense has actually been slightly below average, 6.3 versus teams that allow 6.8. Yet they're running for 4.5 yards a carry. So I think they could have success on the ground here, and I think that might be the game plan we see. That, of course, could help the under a little bit, could help the underdog as well. It's just weird because Green Bay's offense this year has actually not thrown the ball that well statistically, yet they've moved the ball pretty well and put up some points. But like you said, the defense has really struggled to stop anybody. Just not sure Philadelphia is that good of an offensive team. They're one of the weakest offenses in the league based on my ratings, and this actually might be a decent matchup for Green Bay for that reason.
Steve Merrill with us. All right, Steve, let's blast through some basketball games. The Oklahoma City Thunder are at the New York Knicks, and it's your favorite word I'm going to use here, dichotomy. Quite a dichotomy, Steve, with the Knicks at MSG. They've quietly won six straight in that building.
Yeah, they're playing pretty good basketball, actually. This is a team that seems to be on the rise, just 8-8 on the season, but they've been really competitive in a lot of those games. And they return home here off a 5-point loss at Charlotte. They squeaked out a cover by 0.5 there. They've now gone 6-1 against the spread their last seven, and they've gone 5-2 straight up their last seven. And like you said, Gabe, they're now back at home where they've played better basketball overall this year.
Yeah, I think I like this number tonight. I think this is a good spot for the New York Knicks. Oklahoma City are 5-1 to the over in their last six games. They're basically Russell Westbrook. Like, let's be real. You know, Oladipo's giving him something. He's okay, but he kind of disappears at times. You know, Westbrook's going to be prime because it's in New York City and stuff, but so are the Knicks. I just think the Knicks are a little bit deeper and playing better ball right now, like you said, Steve.
Yeah, and this is the type of team that New York can play with. They both like to play up-tempo. They don't play, like you said, they both don't play a lot of defense. Two offensive, fast-tempo teams. So at home, I think New York will be in their comfort zone in this game tonight.
All right, a couple of basketball games. We've got 2 minutes out here. Kentucky and Arizona State in the Bahamas. Tonight, ASU's getting 16.5. The total's about $1.56.5. It was 157 or so. You know, Kentucky are pretty freaking good. They're rolling along 6-0 straight up, 5-1 against the number. An impressive 92.3 points per game. This Kentucky team shoots a lot of threes, Steve. You know, there's been Kentucky teams in the past, very athletic, but they're not great shooters. This team's a pretty good shooting team. They're bombing threes. They're scoring 92.3 a game. They're giving up 64 a game. Arizona State are 4-2, but they're only 1-4-1 against the number. They're 4-2 to the over. They're scoring 85 points a game. You know, I think I like the over here.
Yeah, it'll be a high-scoring game. At least it should be. Both teams put up a lot of points, like you said. They both like to play at an upper-tempo pace when possible. So I think it'll be a track meet. The concern, though, I'd have with the over, though, is if the threes are falling. Both teams have taken a lot of threes this year. Arizona State's taken 26 three-point shot attempts per game.
Wow.
Kentucky's allowing just 23% to their opponents beyond the arc. So Kentucky has completely shut down the three-point shot for their opponents. So that would be the concern here. So maybe Kentucky to the over, Kentucky to the under, or Arizona State to the over are somewhat correlated in this game.
Steve Merrill with us, so we got to get out of here. Steve, we got Forrest Gregg stepping up.
Nice.
Old school Cincinnati Bengals coach. Yeah,
that's when I started, early 80s, as a fan, as a 9 or 10 year old. I remember he was the Packers coach back like in 83, back when the Redskins were in their heyday, when I really got into football. So I remember him.
Yeah, he was there. I think it was the Magic Man days, right? When he was the coach there. He was
even before that.
He
replaced Bart Starr, I think.
Yeah, he did. He was also the coach of the Bengals that lost to the Niners in that Super Bowl. That's right.
Yeah, I was just saying, I thought he was at Cincinnati. I was with you on that one. Yeah.
One of the two that they lost to the Bengals, to the Niners. All right, we got to get out of here. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
It was Steve Merrill, prosportsinfo.com. Check out his picks over at Covers Experts as well. Forrest Gregg joins us next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Thanks to Steve Merrill for joining us on the program. Tony Cincotta will join us in a couple of moments. We'll take a look at tonight's Monday Nighter from a DFS and a prop perspective. But it's our honor to welcome a former coach, former player in the NFL, you know, six-time champion. We don't have enough time to go through all of his accomplishments. Voted one of the best 100 players ever to play in the game. 16 seasons in the NFL. Vince Lombardi said he's the finest player that he ever coached. Former coach of the Browns, the Bengals, the Packers, the Toronto Argonauts, the Shreveport Pirates, the SMU Mustangs, the Hall of Famer, Forrest Gregg joins us. Coach, it's always a pleasure, sir. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. And you?
Hey, we're doing fine, Coach. Thanks for joining us. And, you know, I remember when the Ottawa Renegades came back into the Canadian Football League. You were signed and you were hired to be the president of football operations. And, you know, the Renegades didn't make it through. Now we've got, the Red Blacks, they're called. But football's back in Ottawa, Coach. And they won the Grey Cup. Long time coming. Long time coming for the city of Ottawa, but they finally got it done. First championship since 1976, Coach.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. It was a very exciting game, too. But I know you were watching the Denver-Kansas City game last night. What'd you think of that ball game?
Yeah, oh, that was really a great game. And it just had so much going. And it was tight, defensive football game, I would say.
What do you think of the overtime rules? We were just talking about this. You know, you guys used to play to a lot more ties than they do today. Do you like the overtime rules the way they are now?
Yeah, there's a better chance of somebody winning the game. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody likes a tie anymore, Coach. You're right.
No.
I wanted to ask you, you were involved in so many big games as a player and as a coach over the years. When you look back on it, do you remember the wins, or are you bothered by the losses more? What do you remember more, the big games that you were part of a losing team or big games that you were part of the winning team, Coach?
Being part of the winning team, that's the ultimate. That's what you want to do. You want to win. And I enjoyed all my time in the NFL as a player and as a coach. And it was I still like to watch the games. And you have a hard time kind of keeping up with everything.
Now, Coach, I read that, and I heard you talk about fondly for your alma mater, and you took on the responsibility of rebuilding the program after SMU received the death penalty. And, you know, you guys only won a couple of games, but you said that that was one of the most fulfilling football experiences of your life.
That's true. Those kids were just awesome. You know, they were playing against older men, and I say men because they were all older and more experienced than those SMU kids, but they really played hard. They never quit. They never gave up. They just gave it the best possible effort that you could give, and I just can't say enough about them.
Yeah, you know, I
see them occasionally. We're all running into one of them, and we'll just have a good time talking about it.
Did you have you watched the 30 for 30 documentary, the ESPN documentary on the SMU program before?
Yeah, I've watched part of that, and of course, a lot of it is that I don't agree with. But
you know, like a lot of what was said in there. Huh?
Yeah.
Well, Coach, before we let you go, the Green Bay Packers playing tonight. They've lost four games in a row. There's a lot of pressure on Aaron Rodgers right now. Maybe he's trying to do too much, but it's only so much he can do as the quarterback. Coach McCarthy's on the hot seat right now. What would your advice be to Coach McCarthy, and what's your thoughts on the Packers situation right now, Coach?
Well, they're having a tough go right now. And hopefully they can win out on this thing. As Rogers said last night, he predicted they would. And I don't know. They're just not in sync. They're playing hard, but they're just not. Not really getting it done.
Yeah, and it's hard at this point of the season, isn't it? Once you're into week 10, and then week 11, and week 12, that if you're not in sync now, you've got problems. But, Coach, it's always an honor catching up with you. So how you feeling? How you been doing recently, Coach? How you spending your days? You're enjoying watching football?
Yes, I do. I really enjoy it. And that's just part of my life now. Is doing that and enjoying every bit of it.
Well, Coach, it's always an honor to catch up with you and talk pigskin with you. Just said it's such an incredible career as a coach, a player, an executive, all branches of levels of football. It's always great catching up with you. Take care of yourself. It's always a pleasure, Coach.
Thank you very much. Enjoy it very much.
There's Forrest Gregg with us. So he stated, man, you know, you can't even go back. Like I said off the top of the program, like, I wonder if Forrest Gregg has Twitter or somebody set up a Twitter. It's like, no. I think I can picture Forrest Gregg sitting at home tweeting. But, you know, five NFL championships, Super Bowl, because the dude played before the Super Bowl, basically, but he won a Super Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys. And that game with the Cincinnati Bengals and the San Francisco 49ers, one of the best Super Bowls ever, man. Kenny Anderson was the quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals. Chris Collinsworth, who we know now as an analyst, was actually on that team. And Joe Montana led a late comeback. Ironically, he did it again against Boomer Esiason and the Cincinnati Bengals later on. But Forrest Gregg was the coach of that team. And he also played like the most coldest game ever. San Diego and Cincinnati, the Freezer Bowl, it was called. So I think Sincato will remember that game. Let's bring up Tony Sincato when we come back. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, let's bring in the Tony Sincato. We've got a couple of minutes to run the gauntlet with Tony. We're always in a rush when Tony joins us. So it's the Tony Sincato block right now. Tony, always a pleasure. What's going on?
I'm fired up. I'm on the Gabe Morency Show. You know, you think about all the attributes that you could have happen in your life to be on the Gabe Morency Show. This is something that everybody strives for.
Well, you know, Dick Stockton, Mike Ditka, Forrest Gregg, Tony Cincotta. You made the cut, Tony.
I got bumped last week for Dick Stockton, right? At first, yeah. I was concerned. It was that dickhead Howard Bender, but I felt a lot better. It was Dick Stockton.
Yeah, if we would have bumped you for Jake Seeley or something, you're never talking to me again, right? Like
Jake Seeley, yeah. Anybody that doesn't, you know, make it with women can't bump me.
Yeah. So when you heard it was Dick Stockton, you're like, all right, Dick Stockton. Okay.
Yeah, Dick Stockton. Yeah, that actually improved my career.
Especially as a Boston guy too, right? I mean, Stockton did so many big Celtic games, man.
People don't remember Dick Stockton actually did the Red Sox games with Ken Harrelson. Those were the two guys when I first started watching baseball as a kid that did the games together.
Yeah, that's crazy. So Hawk was a Red Sox before a White Sox, huh?
Right, so all this White Sox stuff is really crap.
He's the biggest homer in the world now.
You know what's crazy is things get tough and then you have to have allegiance. Like yesterday, I saw Curt Schilling did a podcast. And he had Terry Francona on. So he's given up the politics. Now he's back to baseball. He needs an audience.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, Nando's been bugging me. Get Curt Schilling on. I said, you really want to put me and Schilling on together? God knows it's going to happen. Yeah, so what? I was going to say, Schilling was doing the show for Breitbart. Did he scrap that already? Now he's like doing baseball, right?
And now he's back to baseball. I saw Kurt, one of my last days at Sirius XM. We were in the lobby, me and Adam Ronis, and Curt Schilling was at the desk at 6 in the morning. No superstar ever is there at 6 in the morning, right? He was dressed in jeans, a Red Sox t-shirt, a Red Sox hat. He might as well put, please look at me, on there. I didn't roll up his pants, but I'm pretty sure he would have had a bloody sock on.
Yeah, that's hilarious. It's like they say the Notre Dame grads, they pick their nose just to show off their ring. It's like a guy, it's like, you know, you never see that. An NBA player, only like Swaggy P will do it. He'll go out to the club wearing a Nick Young Laker jersey. You're Nick Young. It's like, dude.
it's the crazy thing.
If you're Schilling, though, like Roger Clemens, he'd have like a hood on or a hat all low, and he'd have the look like if you made eye contact with him and knew it was him, he'd look like, don't even think about talking to me. You know what I mean? That's what Clemens would be like. Well, you said Schilling's coming in with Red Sox gear. Hey, I'm Curt Schilling.
That's the craziest thing ever. Like, I've never seen a player wear his own stuff before, right in a Sirius XM building. It was amazing to see.
Yeah, that's great. See, Schilling actually could move for Schilling. Stick to the baseball, Curt, all right?
Yeah.
I don't mind the edgy political talk, but he just takes it to a whole other level, man, of like a whole other level. I mean, the guy was tweeting about Nazis from the Little League World Series last year, like 2 years ago. But, all right, Tony, what's the deal here with the Jets and the Patriots, man? It's amazing. I'm doing radio hits on WEEI now. Every Sunday before the Pats game. So I come on the pregame show and I get my best bets and stuff. And it's frustrating because yesterday all the Boston guys were telling me, you know, the Patriots never cover against the Jets. And it was nuts, man. Yeah. We went back 7 games, man. 7 consecutive games. It had been decided by less than 8 points of what the point spread was yesterday. And I told him, yeah, but this is different. It never is different. It's like it doesn't matter who the coach is, who the quarterback is for the Jets. The Patriots struggle against them for some reason.
Gabe, it's one of those things. It looks like all division games in the National Football League have closer affairs than any time before. We see more parity. And when you play a team twice, I just believe the familiarity is there. And you play them year after year. And they're in two locations there. I just look at these two teams knowing each other too well. Yesterday, you had Brady miss 2 games of practice, 2 practice days during the week. That hurt. Then he had Rob Gronkowski come out of the game. They've played without him before. They've been successful. They've been successful without Tom Brady. But when you make changes during the game, I think that impacts the team.
Yeah, and they're, you know, they're just, this isn't college football. There's no style points, right? They got the win, and they get out of there. Something I noticed in this past week, too, dude. Well, how hard is it to spot a freaking football, Tony? Going back to the Monday nighter last week with the Texans game, the Michigan-Ohio State game. I mean, he didn't get there. He was a half yard short. He didn't get there.
I watched it. I watched that game, right? And so when I saw it live, there was no way he got there. Then I saw the replay, and I'm like, I don't know. Here's what I think. I think that Michigan, what do you vote for? What are these voters voting for? Are the four best teams supposed to be in this playoffs? Because if they are, Michigan deserves to be in. Ohio State deserves to be in. Put them both in. You can't make the argument that Michigan can't get in, but you put Ohio State in the Final Four when they don't even qualify for their league championship. Put them both in. I don't want to see Washington in, a team that plays touch football in that packed Sissy 12. Let's get the four best teams in this thing.
Yeah, you know what? How awesome. You're right. Michigan and Ohio State rematch in the playoffs to go to the championship. It is. It's like Ali Foreman stuff. You know, like you said, that was a prize fight, man, with a slim. You got to do it again. It's almost like one of those fights where it's like, no, there's got to be a rematch. There's no dispute. You know what I mean?
Into Ohio State. Played a game on their turf, had two bad calls against him in the second half, and dominated the game and went to overtime with them. Put them on a neutral field.
I know. Michigan, they should be fifth. So if something happens, I think Michigan might still be able to get in. Because you know what's crazy about this, Tony? You're right. Listen, so Penn State, Wisconsin play each other right now.
Yeah.
So the winner is going to be the Big Ten champion. They're going to have a strong argument to get in. Oh, we're the Big Ten champion. Michigan beat them both. Michigan beat Penn State. They beat Wisconsin. Okay, let's say Colorado upsets Washington. They're the Pac-12 champ. Oh, let us in. Michigan beat them by 17. Like you said, if we're really putting the top four teams in the country in, you can't tell me Michigan's not one of the top four teams.
That's what I'm saying. If there's no standings that dictate who goes in, your job is to vote the four best teams, regardless of how it happened, how it got there. You're not to make this decision. If that's the case, put Western Michigan in. How crazy is what's going on here? Let the four best teams. That's why we got to this point. This is why we have people to vote.
That's a good point, Tony. Very good point. All right, so let's talk about tonight's football game. Can Carson Wentz exploit this Packers defense like everybody else has? You know, everyone's throwing 270, 300 yards, three touchdowns. It's a fantasy palooza when you play against this Packer defense. But, you know, the Eagles offense is so freaking pedestrian, Tony.
I agree with you. And I think Kenny, yes, but I don't think the coaching staff will let him. He's going to be hamstrung by that running back situation where they have all these guys coming out of the backfield. Green Bay, through the first six games, was number one in the league against running backs. Now they've had four successive games where they've let up 20 points or more to running backs. I really think the running game is going to impact Carson Wentz, and he's not going to have the ultimate numbers. I still want to take a shot with Jordan Matthews in tonight's play, and if you want to go wild, if you're a gambling man, Dorial Green Beckham, minimum salary in daily fantasy, throw him out there, see if he gets a play. He usually only gets plays in garbage time. He doesn't know the playbook. But if anyone, anytime, this is the night that it's going to happen. In any Eagles defense, right, they're a pretty good defense, but they're susceptible to big plays in the passing game. So I think Aaron Rodgers throws the ball 50 times. He's going to connect a couple times.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And you know what, Tony? When I did my notes right before the show, Rodgers over-under for betting, you know, the prop was 26.5 completions. And I'm like, damn, it's a little high. I'd like the 25.5, and it went down to 25.5. But because you know what, Tony? Six straight games, he's thrown for more than 25.5 completions, but twice he landed on 26. But they don't run the ball. They throw the ball all the time. I like that prop. And 278.5 passing yards. I'm tempted, but the Eagles' pass D is pretty good. So I wouldn't be surprised if he completed a million little dink and dunks, but you know, it's hard to throw on that Eagles defense. They only give up like 228 yards a game.
Yeah, unfortunately, if you look at Aaron Rodgers' numbers too, there's a lot of dinking and dunking that's going on. It's not a lot of passes down the field. He's had several games where he has three, four touchdown passes and 220 yards passing.
Yeah.
So it kind of suits up there, and that's why those casinos don't go out of business in Las Vegas, is that I think Jordy Nelson's the one guy you like. I think that Davante Adams gets a ton of catches today, but not a lot of yards. He's been used as the running game. So basically, they throw him passes out in the flat, and he tries to make something happen out of him. But I don't think he accumulates a lot of yards in this game.
His receptions is 4.5. You think he's going to go over that then?
I think he goes over that. I don't know what the yardage total is, but I wouldn't touch that one.
Nelson is 5.5, but Nelson's kind of flaky, man. Like, he's not – you know,
you go – totally. He's a – run hitter, right? He's catching the deep balls. He's catching balls in the first and second quarter, and it doesn't seem like he gets lost in that offense in the second half.
Exactly. Like, you know, last week he gets that early touchdown. You're like, oh, he's going to have a big fantasy day. And then he just sort of vanishes. And, you know, Randall Cobb steps up now. It's kind of weird, like, to trust where they're going to go. I like the prop with the completions with Aaron Rodgers. And also with Carson Wentz, it's only 22.5. They don't have a ground game. They're going to be throwing a lot. The Packers' weakness is that secondary. You know, I don't think Wentz is going to throw for a ton of yards, but I think he can complete 23 passes tonight, Tony.
Doug Peterson scares me. When you don't have a coach with that long of a track record and where he's going to be, I get a little concerned. Mike McCarthy, we know that his job's on the line. He feels like Aaron Rodgers gets to do whatever he wants. We know he's going to go there. He's going to fire away. I just don't know what Doug Peterson's going to do. He's a little crazy. He announces in the press that Nelson Aguilar is probably going to get less plays in this game. Why would you announce that even if it's true? Why do we have to know that?
Well, considering a couple of weeks ago he said Darren Sproles is my number one running back, and then he gave him three carries. I'm assuming that means Aguilar is getting targeted 18 times tonight.
Well, if he does, then I give him a little respect. If he did that and he wants to go a little, undercover on us, what the heck?
Yeah, I don't know what Peterson's deal is, too. He's like, you know, earlier in the season, he was on top of everything. He was, you know, everything was systematic and dink and dunk, and it was just working. You know, he's a Kansas City disciple, former quarterback, but he's getting kind of goofy over the last couple of weeks, Tony.
Yeah.
Like, he does weird things. Like, oh, he makes weird decisions on the field. His play calling's weird. Like, reality's catching up to these guys right now.
Yeah, NFL coaching makes you go a little loopy. We had Hugh Jackson crying yesterday because he's 0-12. He says he's never been anything so hard in his life than being 0-12. Well, he took a team that's $40 million under the cap. They've used four different quarterbacks. He thought he was coming in with Robert Griffin III. What the hell did he think was going to happen?
Yeah, now I hear them saying that the Browns have RG3 penciled in as their starter next year. For what?
Yeah.
For the first half, for the first game again? Like, you gotta let it go, man. Like, RG3's not the answer.
Even if you're 0-16 and you're under the cap and you have injuries, you didn't win a game. Like, can you really have a job after that? You didn't win one single game.
Yeah, it's bad. All right, so what do you do with the Monday-Thursday stuff? So we got Dallas at Minnesota on Thursday. But it looks, you know, Aaron Rodgers is the expensive one right now. Carson Wentz is real cheap. Bradford not getting any love. And even Dak's not that expensive. How are you approaching the Monday-Thursday?
I would take my money. I would spend on Ezekiel Elliott, Aaron Rodgers. Go with those two. Take Dak out of the equation because I believe Dallas will be able to run the ball. They run the ball against anyone. So you got to keep Ezekiel Elliott in there. And then I got to save a little money for Stephon Diggs. He didn't practice again on Sunday. They had practice. If he's able to go, he's going to get targeted 20 times in that game. He's the guy that I want. He's the difference maker. If not, I could save money on Adam Thielen, and I could save money if I had to go down a Cordarrelle Patterson more in the flex position. In tonight's game on the Green Bay side, I'm probably going to take a shot and go Devontae Adams for Green Bay. Philadelphia, Jordan Matthews at $5,000. Absolutely have to play him. You have to play him there. And then it comes down to flex, Doriel Green Beckham or Cordarrelle Patterson. I'm going with Doriel Green Beckham.
What do you think of Zach Ertz? I'm looking at the prop. It's 4.5 receptions for Ertz. Guy's got 6 or more catches in 3 straight games. Two of those games, 6 catches. The other game, 8 catches. He is getting targeted a lot over the last 3 weeks.
If you're right about 23 completions for Carson Wentz, Zach Ertz is definitely going to bust that tonight. He's got to be the number 2 target in this offense.
Yeah, I think so, too. You know, Carson Wentz, people were loving him early, and, you know, I'm looking at the numbers. You know, he hasn't put up more than 17 fantasy points, Tony, since that game against the Steelers in week 3, man.
They're holding him back, like Jared Goff. Jared Goff announced, right, hey, I'm going to go deep this week. And he looked good in the first half, throwing the ball. They're going to take the reins off me. Doug Peterson got to realize that this is a poor defensive backs, and they got to let this guy play. You drafted him early. Let's see what he got. He looks like a professional quarterback. Let's see him go out there and throw the ball around.
What do you think? I know you're exactly right. And in the NFL, you don't win. It's these coaches coach not to lose, and then they lose. O'Brien does that. You mentioned you look at the quarterbacks around the league like Fisher and Goff. You drafted the kid first overall, man. You moved up. You got him. Like you said, you got the golden boy. Air him out. You know what I mean? That's what he does. They're like, that's what he did to Cal. Like, it's amazing to me. So what do you do with the game tonight? You know, I hate the Packers. I keep losing money on them taking teasers. They don't even cover the damn teasers, Tony, but I'm falling for it again tonight. And I don't think the Eagles are that good. I just don't think the Eagles should be 4.5-point favorites. The question is, does the Green Bay Packers try to run the ball? We didn't talk about Christian Michael. What's the deal with that?
No, this is a mirage. This is a guy that couldn't cut it in Seattle, couldn't cut it, I don't think, anywhere else. He took the first job again. No, they don't run the ball at all. He'll get three carries in the first half. He'll gain 4 yards. Then they'll lose patience and they'll throw the ball. I'm like you, though. I usually like to have statistical data, and I get on people's case when they just use narratives. But I can't believe that the Green Bay Packers are going to lose this game, too. I really have nothing to back that up. And that makes the crap out of me, because everything I see, they have a bad defensive backs. They can't run the ball. Like, there's nothing here. But why do I think there's no way that they don't cover 4.5?
It's the no logic league. That's why, right? I always think that. I'm like, as bad as they were last week, they'll win this week. Yeah, that's the way it goes. I'm a big narrative and spot guy, Tony. All right, we got to get out of here, but always a pleasure, bro. Thanks for joining me.
All right, next time, can you bring some cheerleaders?
Yeah, we'll try, Tony.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that.
It's Tony Cincata, cheerleaders. What the hell do I look like, Jerry Jones? I'm going to come back with our plays of the day. All right, it's time for our plays of the day. Oh, man. Why? Green Bay Packers plus 4.5. I know I've told you I'm never betting on the Green Bay Packers again. I've said this countless times. The last couple of weeks, I've only taken them on teasers, and I've still gotten burnt. I just don't think that the Philadelphia Eagles should be 4.5-point favorites in this football game. But I didn't think that the Ravens should be 4-point favorites yesterday, and they won by 5, son of a bitches. All right, give me the Green Bay Packers plus 4.5. We're going to go over the 48 in this game. We're going to go for a little insurance with a Green Bay Packer teaser to the over. Aaron Rodgers, this is probably our best bet of the night. Aaron Rodgers, over 25.5 completions, 6 straight games. He's completed 25 or more. Carson Wentz, 4 straight games. He's completed more than 22.5 or more. It's going to happen tonight. Neither of these two teams can run the football. They don't have any running backs to run the football. There's going to be a lot of passing opportunities, which means there's going to be a lot of sack opportunities. Both these teams are pretty good at getting after the quarterback. Let's go over 4.5 sacks. I like that long field goal. Don't love it, but they're almost forcing it on me, so let's take it. It's a small play on the long field goal. Got some basketball. The Knicks have won 6 straight home games, guys. I like the Knicks tonight to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Hawks and the Warriors, fair number at 217. Generally, Warrior games, yeah, that's like 230 the totals. It's fair number at 217. And a little college basketball. They're playing out there in the Bahamas, that Atlantis stuff. Kentucky ASU goes over the number. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.